truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
We weren't on any mission particularly. We were just looking to pass on.
I've got other things to do, to be quite frank with you, for my constituency.
Okay, so who's fighting there?
He called, himself called, as posting a ring.
Bring out the home.
Hey, welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And on this program, folks, we take you through a little bit of a looking glass, a little bit of a Alice in Wonderland type view of the news and of events and of issues. And tonight we're going to talk in our final hour here about American Idol. We don't do a whole lot of discussion of this kind of specific cultural event unless it has something to do with family. And of course, what is television but an event, a television? It's a utility that we often will use with our family. So we'll have Marilyn Donnelly joining us in just a moment to talk with us about American Idol. She's an advisor, a school advisor, works as a teaching advisor and assistant, and she also represents the Education Alliance for taking American Idol off the air, the Education Alliance for Responsible Television Programming, I think is what it's called. So we'll talk with her in just a second. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And coming up later on in the program, a top UN climate official is reigning, plus the is resigning, excuse me, and the National Enquirer is officially in the running for the Pulitzer. Before we talk with Marilyn, we're going to listen to the American Idol most recent round of judging. Most recent round of, I suppose it's, seeing who makes the cut and who doesn't. Here is Angela Martin, and she is a contestant. She finds out if she's made it to the top 24 from Judge Cara DeJardi, I think is her name.
You are so special and improved so much, don't we, guys?
Yes.
Right? We really do. You have shown such incredible growth this year. I can tell you worked so hard at everything. It has been so difficult to pick 12 girls. Look at me. I'm sorry. You didn't make it. Listen, you are a great singer. You know what? There are other ways to do it, and you've got it in you. Like, guys, we want to encourage you to keep going.
You got to keep going. You got to keep going.
You are a star, no matter what, let me tell you. Oh. You're one of the bravest people I've ever met. One of the bravest. And I'm going to remember you.
Marilyn Donnelly now with us from the Education Alliance for Responsible Television. Now, you heard that. That was Angela Martin finding out if she's going to make it to the top 24. And you take exception to that, as do other members of your organization, right?
We absolutely do, Phil. And the sadism that you just heard demonstrated in that moment from that television show is exactly exemplary of why our children are in danger watching a program like that, and the young people that are auditioning on that program also equally in danger. That was a sadistic demonstration of the pull of that television program by that judge, who I don't blame personally. I find that those individuals are under obvious direction from the producers, one of whom, though, is Simon Cowell.
Now, Simon Cowell is a producer on that show, and you are saying that the producers of American Idol are intentionally sadistic.
I think the marching orders of the day, I think they enjoy telling these young people that they didn't make the cut. They couch it in a very maternal kind of feel. The language is familial. It is the language that a mother might use with a child. And you heard that one sound. I thought that that was the singular, most irresponsible, most insulting, and most abusive audio that I've ever heard in my life from that program.
All right, we'll play it one more time so people can hear what it is you're talking about.
You are so special and improved so much.
Now, you can listen to this woman And you hear the other judge, who is the man.
I can tell you worked so hard.
And they're building her up. And this is where they really get their thrills. Building them up.
12 girls.
Telling her how great she is.
Look at me.
Now, this is where she wants her to look at her so she can really get...
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
She's enjoying that.
You are
all right. She just told the girl... I'm sorry.
Yes, she just told that young, very vulnerable and very impressionable child, I'm sorry you didn't make the cut. Phil, what is significant in that piece of audio is just before she tells this child that she didn't make the cut, she says, look at me. Look at me.
Now, what do you think that... Are you saying she wants that girl to look at her so she can get additional enjoyment?
So she can have the enjoyment of looking at that child's face as she says, you didn't make it, and watch the crestfallen look on that child's face, look at the body language slump, look at the tears begin to flow, and Mr. Hendry, this is the most insidious of all facts about that program. They do it for no other reason than their personal enjoyment and their sadistic gratification.
No, Marilyn, you said, though, that the producers want them to do this. Is this not something that they do for ratings?
Well, there is no real empirical data on whether this helps them with their ratings or not. To tell them that they don't make the program may or may not get them ratings, but they enjoy so much telling a young person that they're not going to be on American Idol, that their dreams will not be fulfilled, that they're not as good as the other young people, and that's very significant. To be able to look at a child, when you're an individual like this Kara woman, or this Jackson, or this Simon Cowell, and you relish the sadistic delight of telling a 14, 15, or younger, or even older, 20-something person, that they're not good enough, when you relish and you luxuriate in the sadism of that, it is almost as if you are sampling wines from the Côte d'Aron Valley or Mendocino.
Oh, that, Marilyn, what you're saying, you know...
Or any of the newer Zinfandels, the white Zins from Oregon, yes. It's like wine tasting.
All right, what you're saying is there's no reason for American Idol to drag out... telling these children, these young people, I say children, I mean these are adults, that they've made it onto American Idol other than the sadistic delight of this woman, Cara DeGiardi, or the other judges on this program. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. And that's why we are, and Phil, we are being very clear about this. We are asking, and we're asking now. There's been an awful lot of discussion on the Internet about demands of the government, demands that the government do this or that or else. Well, we are demanding that American Idol be taken off the air. We can no longer stomach looking at sadists like this Jackson, this DeGiardi, this Cowell, delighting in disappointment, the almost suicidal disappointment of a young person. And let me tell you something else. We already know that one young contestant killed herself in front of Paula Abdul's home.
All right, we know that, yes.
Today we saw an example of a mind that had eventually and with finality come apart. And the individual in possession of that mind, or who had possession of that mind, before he got into that airplane, was a man who eventually flew an airplane into a building, killing himself, one other person, and injuring others. We witnessed that today, Phil.
Right.
If American Idol continues to toy with the feelings of young people, ghoulishly and sadistically getting some kind of a perverse thrill out of telling a young person, you didn't make it. All these other people did, but you didn't. If they continue... you're going to see a lot more burning buildings on television.
You're That's very dramatic.
I have no doubt. I'm an educator, and I've been an educator now for 20 years. You're going to see a lot more burning buildings on television. And then I'd like to see the look on this woman, Cara DeJordi's face. Then I'd like to see the look on the African-American gentleman's face. Then I'd like to see the look, the smug look on Simon Cowell's face after he sadistically got his thrills telling a young contestant, no, you don't get to have your dreams fulfilled. You must go home now knowing that we don't like you. I'd like to see the look on his face when that child, instead of going home, goes to that pilot school in Arizona and learns how to take a plane off but not land it. And I'm sorry.
That's really very extreme, and I'd like you to, you know.
No, I'm very sorry, Mr. Henry. I don't want to have to talk about this.
But when we come back, I want you to back this stuff up, because, look, we're all concerned with the well-being of our children. You're saying something here that is brutally frank.
Mr. Henry, I do not delight in putting it this way. We have got to get this program off the air.
Is there any way that they could put it so that they wouldn't be so sadistic?
There, you cannot change the spots on a leopard. I've seen this Cara DeJordi. I've seen her up close. I've seen her in person. She has the look of a jungle predator. She has the look of a sadist. And I know that look. And the same with the African-American.
Mr. Jackson, what is his name? Jackson, right. And Cowell?
And Cowell, yes.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Talking here with Marilyn Donnelly. Ms. Donnelly is with educators for the Education Alliance for Responsible Television. And the question we have here, should American Idol be taken off the air because the people who are rejected could turn violent? American Idol, according to our guest, rejects people with such a sadistic glee. In other words, they are so sadistic with their enjoyment of watching kids who are disappointed and who will not be on the program. Are they turning these kids violent and into the next Joe Stacks? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Thank you. I thought that went well.
Hold on.
Phil Henry.
On the line with me is Marilyn Donnelly. Ms. Donnelly is an advisor. She's a student advisor, school advisor, teacher advisor, and she also is a member of the Educational Alliance for Responsible Television. And Ms. Donnelly, you've made it very clear you think American Idol needs to be pulled off the air. You're talking about a level of sadism, meaning that people enjoy seeing the pain of others among the judges. DeGuardi, I think is her name.
Randy Jackson,
Simon Cowell. You're saying that they enjoy watching these children suffer.
I absolutely do, Phil. And the other piece of audio that I think you should hear is of this young contestant by the name of Thaddeus Johnson. You are going to hear a level of sadism that I don't think you've ever heard on national television from an adult to a child. That's the most disturbing part. It is one thing to say that a child doesn't win a contest, or an adult doesn't win a contest. But to sadistically, with cruelty and malice aforethought, revel in the pain and anguish of a child, I think it takes the program American Idol to a new depth of depravity, really, that I don't think I'd ever see a television program, or for that matter, any platform, lower itself to.
All right, here is Thaddeus Johnson, as he is told. And you'll hear him in a various stages of this competition that he doesn't make the show. Thaddeus Johnson, and his mother was there, too.
Thaddeus, you didn't make it. And I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
You didn't do anything wrong this week.
Now watch as they drag it out. Watch as they drag it out.
Thank you. Just a lot of people. Hard time to decide.
Come on, chin up. Chin up.
They said I did great. And I did nothing wrong. But I don't understand how you can do great and do nothing wrong and still get let down. I just thought it was my time. And they asked him during Hollywood Week. They told me that I was great. They
lied to him, in other words, Phil. You hearing that?
Yes, I am.
Listen to this poor child. And Simon Cowell, don't make any mistake. Simon Cowell thinks this is thoroughly entertaining and funny.
You think Simon Cowell is listening to this and laughing?
I have no doubt in my mind at all. He thinks it's so funny.
They said there was nothing wrong with me.
Randy Jackson, who should have some empathy, this is a brother.
Stop it. Stop
Randy Jackson it. Is probably howling with laughter.
I find that hard to believe. I find it hard to believe that they're howling with laughter.
Phil, I'm telling you, I've been around children for a long time, and I've seen the effects of sadistic adults on children. And this child, by the way, this boy was also very overweight, and this hardship can't be good for his heart. I don't think that American Idol and Mr. Cowell at all, to be honest with you, I don't think they would be overly disappointed if that child, on top of crying and feeling brutally disappointed, had a heart attack right in front of America and died. And
I know you know what it is you're talking about. I don't know the principles. I find that so hard to believe.
And died. And you may find it hard to believe, but I believe with every fiber of my being that if that child died of a heart attack after weeping that he did not make American Idol, Randy Jackson, the black judge, who should have some empathy, would be spitting up with laughter, howling, with the driver's door of his Rolls Royce open out onto Sunset Boulevard and him spitting to try to clear his throat.
That's an indictment.
I know what it is.
That is an indictment that I think you're going to have a hard time backing up. Were you ever to be sued for saying those things? Amber in Mobile, Alabama. Go ahead, Amber.
There's no way they can sue me.
I don't know. Amber, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Marilyn Donnelly.
I was actually calling to tell Miss Mary that it's okay for her to turn the channel. And it's okay for her to not have her kids watch it, or herself, or her husband. And it's okay for her to even tell others not to watch American Idol. But to demand that a show be pulled because it's satanical or sadistical, or let me use her words, luxurious. What did you say?
I don't know. I don't even know what the word sadistical is. You made up a word there.
And as did you with the whatever you put on the end of luxury. But the bottom line is the word called luxuriant.
No, I'm going to give you the word because it's called luxuriant, or to luxuriate in something is to enjoy it almost obscenely.
Well, thank you very much.
I believe that's what they were doing.
Okay. So, and I'm sure that that's your opinion, and I respect you for that. But what I wanted to offer you was...
Well, I don't think so. I think after you hang up, you're going to tell me to go to hell.
Oh, Ms. Donnelly, don't be...
If I was going to do that, I would tell you that on the phone. Now, anyway, what I was going to say is... What I was going to say is that we have created a society of individuals for the last couple of generations that have absolutely zero coping skills. It's like they started at T-ball where there's no winners or losers. They don't keep scores, so everybody's great. Well, that's not the truth. And if we can start rearing our children like it used to be in the old days, the survival of the fittest.
When you work hard, you reap the rewards. I will answer your question. I have nothing to learn from you.
You do not.
Will you let the lady, please?
So?
Yes, I have. You know nothing of my life.
Let me offer you this.
Children are going to fly planes into buildings. Do you understand what it is I'm warning against?
No, it's not the problem.
You saw what happened.
Children are flying planes in the buildings. It's the problem that the parents didn't set the right expectations in the first place of these children.
Did you hear what you just said?
That's the problem.
I heard her say planes. No, she wanted to say planes, but she said flying planes.
She said flying planes.
How can we expect our children to have confidence when
you rear them in confidence, you celebrate their successes, and you correct where they fail. You show them how to do things better when they don't do it properly, but you don't say, oh, you did that great when they did it completely wrong. You don't.
Is your name Amber?
And you don't put them through in a contest when they weren't the best.
Well,
that's the whole point of a contest.
So you agree with adults being sadistic with children? Do you think they should be tough enough to take it? Do you? That's what you're saying?
No,
that's exactly what you're saying.
Children, but I do believe in adults being honest with children. And I think that's really what's
lacking in our
society.
I agree. I totally agree with that.
With the lack of honesty with our children.
I hate to see you teaching a class.
Phil Hendry.
With handsome young 14-year-old boys in it.
Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Marilyn Donnelly. She is with the Education Alliance for Responsible Television, calling for the television program American Idol to be taken off of the air for what she calls the sadistic treatment, the intentionally sadistic treatment of the contestants on that show. Now, I have that first cut, Marilyn. You wanted to listen to it again?
I wanted to listen again, Phil, to the contestant, Angela Martin.
Yeah, that's the one.
All right, now listen very carefully. You'll hear this DeGuardi woman, who is the judge. You will hear her relishing that moment, sadistically relishing the moment, as if she is a judge at a some kind of a seafood festival, relishing the moment that she tells this child, Angela Martin, that she isn't good enough. The reason why Miss DeGuardi wanted to take the lead on this, because the other judges can do it, but she insisted that she tell this child, because she knew this child suffers from a Bell's palsy. In other words, one part of her face has a paralysis. And
You're telling me that this DeGuardi woman...
Let me finish. Miss DeGuardi wanted to tell this child who had Bell's palsy, guess what? You didn't make it. And then you can see the look in DeGuardi's eyes as her eyes dart back and forth, taking in, soaking in the humiliation, the hurt, the pain, the almost the violence that is swirling inside this child as she recognizes it was good DeGuardi all the time. She knew that moment was coming.
Angela Martin knew she was going to be told no.
I think so. I think that she knew that DeGuardi had that viciousness in her. And even though that poor child at times tried to go to her face with her hand to push the lip up or to do something, she knew that DeGuardi had it in for her. So let's listen to that.
All right, here is Angela Martin being told by Karen DeGuardi she doesn't make the cut.
You are so special and improved so much.
You hear the lies. You hear the lies right away.
We really do. You have shown such incredible growth this year.
You hear her lying?
I can tell you.
Yes, I don't know if she's lying.
Everything.
I can assure you.
It has been so difficult to pick.
Well, she's really enjoying this.
12 girls.
Budget. Here it is.
Look at me.
Look at me so she can look at the drooping face and the Bell's palsy.
I'm sorry. You didn't make it. Listen.
Now, do you see the sadism?
You know what? There are other ways to do it.
Listen to her. Now she's dragging it out. Lying to the child that there's other ways to do it.
Why don't you? Why isn't it possible, Ms. Donnelly? Why isn't it possible that she's telling the child, you know, you really are a star?
No, it's not. If you saw this kid's face,
and I'm going to remember you.
Listen to the lies. And the other part, of course, Phil, that it's very difficult for us to understand at the Alliance, knowing that later on, after the show was over, Ms. DeGuardi most likely asked to see the tape again. And sat there in her stocking feet in one of those elevated director's chairs, eating some yogurt that was brought to her from Kraft Services, and laughing yet again at that moment that she looked into that child's eyes and said, you don't get to. And the poor child, now unable to hold that paralyzed face in place, weeping.
Have you talked to any of the people from American Idol?
No, I won't talk to them, and I know they won't talk to me. No, we are judging this objectively from video of the show.
Because I think it would do a lot of good if you could. you know.
No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to give them the benefit of the of trying to finesse us and entertain us. No way. Mm-mm.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here. We have Rick in Chicago. Rick, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Marilyn Donnelly. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, thanks, Phil, for taking the call.
Yes.
Hey, I just want to say that I think that lady's accusations about American Idol and the judges is absolutely ridiculous. American Idol's a competition. In the competition, you got winners and you got those that don't. It's like a sporting event. You know, you got people that make the team, you got them that don't. You're telling me people that don't make the team are going to jump on an airplane and run into a building?
No, I didn't say that. I said people that are sadistically treated when they don't make the team. People, young people, let's remember who we're talking about here. We're talking about children.
Children that don't make the team and are sadistically told,
you don't get here. You know, it's stretched out. They make a big deal out of it. They tell them they're great. You heard that little boy being lied to by Cowell and his Confederate judge.
Lied to?
Saying,
well,
oh, you're great.
The competition.
And then told that little boy, no, you aren't great. You stink.
Wow.
And it's ridiculous.
You find it funny. I think it's amazing that you find it funny. I can't
believe it. It's a show. American Idol is entertainment. It is a show.
Yes, of course, it's entertainment. And we use children. Yes, you're absolutely right. And part of the entertainment is to humiliate children.
I'm sure I'm not the only one, obviously, because look at the viewer ratings on this show that disagree with
you. What difference does it make? All right, so I don't know that that's true at all. I think that people are sadistic in their need to see a child suffer. And you know that in America, there's no country in the world where we love to humiliate a child as much as we do in America.
Wait, hold on. What is that supposed to mean?
This man has done nothing but laugh, and the reason why he laughs, he thinks it's funny, the idea of children being humiliated.
No, I think the idea that, I think that the comments you're making is hilarious.
I'll tell you something. I can only hope that a child that has lost out on American Idol boards a Cessna and flies it into whatever it is you call a workplace.
Oh, man. Wow.
You know, my daughter...
Considering
my
daughter, we just had that happen today, you know.
No, well, I'm sorry. If he wants to laugh about it, then...
My daughter...
I hope your daughter's at home with you at the time.
Well...
My daughter's been in competitions, and she's not always won them. But
sure
I stood behind her, and I showed her just keep going and keep jumping. Because you know what? That's what life's about, winning and losing.
All right, and
you don't
and
always win,
a competition
man.
That I was judging, and I said to her...
Strong. You're building
and I said to your daughter, I said, dear, you know, you're really great, but guess what? You haven't got it. Get out of here. You and your old man.
And then she's been told that. Maybe
she never told that, but you know what?
She kept going, and she's still going.
I would say to her, you haven't got enough voice to call the cattle home.
Ma'am, I'm glad you're my daughter's teacher. Thank you, Phil.
Well, you know what? You're happy, but you laugh at other children that are treated that way.
All right. Thank you very much, Rick. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to another phone call here. We got Janet in Pensacola. Janet, go ahead.
Yes, hi. I don't know if this woman is for real because she sounds so wacky. This is ridiculous. Since there's been show business.
Excuse me, I don't find children
being
laughed at.
Since there's been show business, ma'am, there has been rejection. Rejection is part of show business. No one forces these young adults.
Sadism.
You let me speak, ma'am. No one forces these young adults to audition for American Idol. Actors, actresses, everyone in show business goes through rejection. They say there's a broken heart for every light on Broadway. It's part of show business.
Excuse me. It's part
of life.
Every light on
there's
Broadway.
Been an Arthur Godfrey talent contest. The competition is the American way.
Let's
it's part
it
of
in
life.
The 21st century.
And if you can't take the rejection, then don't audition. Don't go up for it.
Well, I don't think you know much about show business.
I surely do, ma'am.
I was in show business.
You know nothing about it. You're a wet job.
What do you know about show business? What, were you some old blister on the stage in Las Vegas?
I'm not going to go into it. I don't have to go into it. I'm just telling you that. And I'm sure Mr. Henry will agree with me that he's gone through rejections in his broadcasting career.
Well, Mr. Henry has gone through more rejections than just a
broadcast. No, you don't have to say that. Everyone has. But
what's the point of that to humiliate me, Ms. Donnelly?
I'm sure you've been rejected in more ways than just broadcasting. I'm sure with that face.
You know, Ms. Donnelly, I'm not attacking you personally. I'm not talking about you.
All right, well, then let's talk about the lady on the phone, Janet. She's trying to tell me she's been in entertainment.
No, I never said that.
Yes, you said you were in show business.
No, I never said that, ma'am. Okay, I studied theater. I studied acting at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts in New York City. My father was an operatic tenor. I know a little bit about show business, ma'am. And I'm telling you, if you can't take the rejection and interrupt it, take it out.
You've never been in that situation. Not everybody can take the rejection.
Well, her
and
father
if you
was
can't
in that
take it, get out. No one forces these young adults to audition.
Your poor father wasted that money on your education.
What?
How do you feel about your father wasting all that money on your education?
How do you figure her father wasted it?
He wasn't professional. I love the theater. It wasn't wasted.
Did you work as an actor? Did you work professionally in the theater?
I couldn't take the rejection.
It's okay, please.
Mr. Henry, I don't care about Janet, me, you. I'm talking about children that go in front of Simon Cowell, overweight, fat, African-American children. Now, let's remember who we're talking about. Fat, black children who are then rejected. Mr. Cowell takes that tape home, gets comfortable into a bathing suit or some kind of a dressing robe, and laughs hysterically as he watches it over and over again. This is what Janet and you think is fine. I don't.
They're not doing it sadistically, ma'am. That's in your warped mind.
Janet, I know that you were, for just a moment there, you were remembering back on when they told you, get lost. Right?
Well, they don't even say it like that. They don't even say it like that.
They say next. How do they say it?
They say next, and then go on. They don't have time for that.
Did you ever bawl like a baby and say, oh, please?
Of course. It's horrible, but no one forced me to go to that audition. It's horrible. It's painful, but it's life.
Your father forced you. You wanted his approval.
No, my father didn't force me. That's what I wanted to do.
But you wanted his approval as an operatic tenor. You wanted to be him. You wanted to be like him, didn't you?
No.
Your father did that to you. Yes, he did.
What are we doing here?
Psychoanalyzing people. I'm talking about these kids on American Idol. and you're talking about a boy.
That fat little black boy is what Simon Cowell watches as he's sticking a spoon into a jar of peanut butter.
All right, Janet. Hey, Janet, thank you for a very interesting story about your coming up in the entertainment business. Here is Joe on the Phil Hendry Show. Joe, go ahead.
She had no experience in the entertainment business.
I understand. Go ahead, Joe.
American Idol is completely about making money. It has nothing to do with proper behavior, good behavior. It's all about making money. It's a phenomenon. It just beat the Olympics the other day in ratings. It beat the Olympics. And so...
I understand that. And they're doing it by humiliating children and sadistically manhandling them.
That's your opinion. That's your opinion. And you may be right. Did you hear that child crying?
Did you hear the child crying?
No, I did not hear the child crying.
All right, listen, please, Mr. Henry.
She didn't make it.
Well, I can't play the whole thing.
You're going to play the whole thing.
This week, genuinely.
Thank you. Just a lot of people, hard time deciding.
Come on, chin up. Chin up.
That little boy was weeping as Simon Cowell was holding back a laugh.
That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. You can't say it's a life lesson for this person. We're going to cry a lot in our lifetime.
Yeah.
We're going to cry a lot in our lifetime.
You know, we were talking about this, Marilyn, yesterday. Simon Cowell, I told you, is my hero. I mean, I love the fact that he tells these children straight up, or these young people straight up, you stink, this is not the business for you. If more kids had been told that down through the years, we wouldn't have a glut of entertainers and a lack of mathematicians, scientists.
Oh, don't give me that speech.
Exactly. He's right. I've heard the speech.
No, if we can tell these kids honestly, you don't belong in this business, go back home and do something that you are great at. We wouldn't have these heartbreak stories.
That's right.
Now, what we're going to have are children climbing aboard Cessnas and finding a building to fly into. just like Joe Stack.
Right. No, that's
get a load of him. No, get a load of him laughing. No, I hear Fort Lauderdale laughing.
I'm not laughing. What makes your opinion better than Simon Cowell's or Phil Hendry's or mine? What makes your opinion better than ours?
Simon,
were you raised more properly than us?
Are you denying that that isn't a sadistic demonstration, dragging it out and then telling the child you didn't make it, and the child cries, and they show the crying, and the humiliation?
Listen,
I can hear you. You're going like this.
We heard it once. Go ahead.
It's interpretation. You can conceive of it that way. A lot of people feel that it's ridiculous for horror on television, you know, blood and guts and horror movies, etc. And so
it's up to
the parent to say, turn
exactly.
the TV off, Tommy.
Exactly. And the other thing is, these are not children, Marilyn. These are adults.
Oh, barely adults.
I don't care if they're barely adults. At some point, you become an adult, and you are legally responsible for your affairs, and you are of a majority age, and you have to go out into the world, and you have to just take a big bite out of the world.
Well, let me tell you something, Phil. The world is a big do sandwich, and you're telling all of us to take a bite.
I'm not telling all of us to take a big do sandwich.
Oh,
that's what it is.
It's a big do sandwich?
Crap. Yeah, and we all got to take a bite.
Phil.
Good day to you.
Phil, you've got to get some
All right, thank you very much, Joe. And we'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. The world is a big do sandwich, and we all got to take a bite. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
I said a big crap sandwich. I want
to... Phil, and no, you're not.
Okay, thanks.
Phil Hendry. So here's the story. Big generation gaps in work attitudes revealed. Now, a lot of people are going to read this article, and they're going to think the logical thing. Well, it's not logical. They're going to think the predictable thing. Boy, this younger generation, they sure are lazy. New survey research announced today suggests large generational gaps exist, particularly when it comes to work attitudes. The findings reveal young people just entering the workforce, often called the Gen Me or the Millennials, or at one time they were called the Gen Ys, are more likely than their elders to value leisure time over work and to place a premium on rewards such as higher salaries and status. Now, results of the new research suggested vacation and other leisure time have increasingly become important over time, with Gen Me placing significantly greater emphasis on it relative to the other two generational groups. Twice as many people in Gen Me rated having a job with more than 2 weeks of vacation very important. Just 23% of boomers agree that work is just making a living, compared with 34% of Gen Me respondents. Three-quarters of boomers said they expected work to be a central part of their lives, compared with 63% of Gen Me respondents. Just making a living, boomers don't see it that way. But the Gen Me'ers do. And the Gen Me'ers see work as not that central a part of your life. So what is that saying? They say two things. The Gen Me people, the millennials, are taking what one would call their life's passions or their loves, and they're exercising them more outside the bounds of their work. Their work is something that they do to provide the means for the expression of the rest of their life. And their work is also something that they can do because we live in the day and age of the telecommute, because we live in the day and age of the long-distance commuter and the computer commuter and all of these other things, that they are able to make their own hours. They can condense them or expand them as they see fit, and the employer doesn't care as long as the job gets done. So the job is secondary to the life, whereas with my generation, the job and the life were the same thing. Now, I got to tell you, there's things that I really dig about how Gen Me people look at their jobs, and there's things that I kind of like about mine. I know how many families and how many marriages have been destroyed by my job is my life, because that's a really all-consuming thing. I mean, you will suddenly find yourself doing nothing but your work. It's your escape. It's your solace. It's your mistress. It's your wife, in the case of, you know, being a man. So that can really wreak havoc with a family. There's an old saying that for an artist, the family is death. Can you imagine that? For an artist, family is death. Which, well, that doesn't need any explanation. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. What a Gen Me person is saying, and maybe Gen Xers to a degree, they're saying, I'm not going to wreck my life with my work. My work is going to be a means by which I can carry out the expression of the rest of my life. And my work, by the way, is something that I will do in such a way so as to leave as much of my life free to me as I can. Well, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because when your life is open to you and you have ways of you have more time to think and explore and create, I see it as a function of Gen Mears having been raised by boomers, looking at the way they get burned out on their jobs, looking at the way it destroys a family or it can destroy a marriage, and saying, that isn't going to be me, man. I am not going to work till 11 o'clock at night and not see my family and not have a life. So it's like, to me, I take it as an evolution. I sure as hell don't think it means people are getting lazier. That is not, there's one thing that we're not, we're not lazy. Dumb? Okay. But lazy?
Oh, so everything you said was bitching until then. You think we're dumb?
I think that we've been smarter as a country. Let me put it that way, okay? Don't take it so personal, bud.
Phil Hendry.